this whole world. Right, big story this week. Mickey, I haven't seen such a response on Twitter when it comes to people replying to just a concept of would you pay for a service called BritBox that the BBC and ITV put together, a subscription service where the content from those areas will be put on a platform. It's already live in the United States and Canada. Would you pay for it in the UK? Because it's going to be launched later this year. Will people actually pay for it? Especially when we already pay for other paid for services like a TV license as well. Many issues around this for the content makers and for the regulators as well. We've got Stephen Gibson with us, who is from SLG Economics, a former principal economist at Ofcom, which would be looking very closely at something like this. We've got Lisa Fairbank as well, managing director of Factory Films, which is a TV production company who've made shows for the likes of the BBC, Channel 4 and Sky. Morning to you both.
Morning.
Stephen, if you were at Ofcom right now and you were involved in a decision to allow this to happen, would you?
Well, of course, Ofcom did look at a very similar proposal 9-10 years ago with the Kangaroo proposition, which was the BBC, ITV and also Channel 4 then looking to develop a very similar sort of on-demand subscription service. Then they ruled that they were concerned that it would weaken the other players in the market. Nowadays, of course, the question is not whether Amazon and Netflix, etc., can compete with the BBC's BritBox, but rather the other way around, whether the BritBox is enough room in the market. So I think that the Ofcom and the competition authorities would welcome the introduction of the new BritBox to try and preserve the public service and help to fund the BBC and commercial broadcasting.
Is there a regulatory issue around the question that hundreds of people have been getting in touch with us this week about? Is, I already pay my TV licence fee. Why should I be making another direct payment to the BBC? Is that something for the regulator to look at?
The regulator will consider that. Of course, remember, as you mentioned in your introduction, BritBox is not new. It's been running for over 2 years now in the USA and Canada quite successfully. And the point is, the TV license funds are under pressure as people move away from live viewing to viewing on catch-up, etc. And a lot of people are starting to opt out of TV licensing, and they're looking to different ways to commercialise their back catalogue. So yes, it will be an additional cost, but this is access to new services you don't currently have. So your TV licence does not pay for you to see back catalogue shows of Doctor Who or Morecambe and Wise, etc.
Let's bring in Lisa Fairbank now, Managing Director of Factory Films. And Lisa, I've got Netflix, I've got Amazon, I'm paying for Sky. Why would I want to pay for this?
Well, I ask myself the same question as someone who loves telly, because obviously if you have Netflix at the moment, you can watch loads of really brilliant British-made shows that maybe had their first outing on the BBC or ITV and get what we would call a sort of second window on these other SVOD platforms. So, yes, I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure that I'll be racing to buy a BritBox box or subscription.
But, I mean, I've worked with production companies myself, and I know whenever you talk about it, it's about the budget. You know, we haven't got the budget. Is there going to be money available for companies like yours to make programmes and films for BritBox? And if so, is that money going to be there?
Well, that's another really excellent question. And obviously, this is a relatively new idea in this country, even if it has been in the States. And what we know as TV producers is that Netflix have very deep pockets. I mean, you only have to look at The Crown, which every episode looks like a movie. There's obviously sort of millions of pounds being spent, and also being spent in this country on the sort of TV industry. Now, my question is for the additional rights to show our programmes all around the world, Netflix pays handsomely for that, and will ITV and the BBC have that kind of money available? Otherwise, all that's going to be happening is, as producers, we'll be missing out on the additional revenue we get when the programmes we've made for the BBC or ITV get sold in other parts of the world or to other platforms.
How does that work, though, Lisa? I mean, if the BBC and ITV don't have the money, if you don't think it's worthwhile, then you just continue making things for Netflix and Amazon, don't you?
Well, yeah. There's probably not enough. In this country, there is a thriving and booming TV production sector based quite often off the back of the fact that we can make money from the programmes that we make for ITV and Channel 4 and the BBC. But there probably isn't enough work for Netflix and Amazon for all of us. And I suppose my concern would be will they start commissioning shows for BritBox and thereby sort of taking up all the rights to show those things all around the world and then put them on BBC One afterwards, rather than what happens at the moment where we get paid by BBC One and then, or BBC Two, and then the shows, we can sell those shows then to Amazon and Netflix.
Stephen, 10 years ago, if you'd have suggested the BBC and ITV get together to produce films and content, people would have probably laughed at you. But even so, two very powerful broadcasters, are they big enough to take on the likes of Netflix? The game has changed.
Well, you're absolutely right. And it's a key question of whether people will go on to buy a second or a third or even a fourth subscription service. Of course, we've seen something similar with the Football League services, where if you want to see all your Premier League and Football League matches, you now have to go to Sky and to BT Sport. So people have shown that there's enough interest in that. I think the demand for internet streaming has been expanding very rapidly over the last year. So it doesn't look to be a lack of demand. The question is whether there's enough room in the market to split it up again.
Stephen, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Just as we get a bit of screech there from one of the lines somewhere, Stephen Gibson, formerly of Ofcom, now at SLG Economics, and Lisa Fairbank as well. Thanks, Lisa. Managing Director of Factory Films TV Production.